And I'll be honest, these measures are working, and they are working to great effect.
That is the commander of U.S. forces in Japan saying he's being honest about the spread of COVID-19. This is Thursday, July 30th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, North Korea admits it does have coronavirus. You'll find out what might happen now. Hong Kong says COVID-19 might cancel its next election, but there are those who have doubts about the reason given. Like in many countries, India's restaurants are struggling. We take you to one, and you'll hear some things you might not know about the First Lady of the United States. It is all on today's VOA Asia. The U.S. military said Wednesday strict measures were in place to curb the spread of the new coronavirus by military service personnel entering Japan. Okinawa's Governor Denny Tamaki had voiced worries about an outbreak spreading from the heavy military presence on the southern island, noting clusters of contagion have been detected in the U.S. military. Tamaki has voiced similar concerns about tourists, including Japanese from places like Tokyo, coming to Okinawa. U.S. Lieutenant General Kevin Schneider, the commander of the U.S. forces in Japan, said the U.S. military is not changing its operations or planned movement of personnel because of the pandemic, but measures were being taken to protect the health of its personnel and prevent the spread of the virus.
We've all directed extensive contact tracing, and testing is underway to identify those who have been exposed regardless of the symptoms. And this was done in order to stop the spread of the virus. And I'll be honest, these measures are working, and they are working to great effect. As of today, we have seen about 139 cases all across U.S. forces Japan. And that is actually a number that has been reduced by about 50 over the past week. So far more people are being recovered and returning to work than are testing positive. And that is because we moved aggressively to contain the virus.
Each individual arriving from the U.S. to Japan is quarantined for 14 days and then tested for the virus and allowed to leave and start work only if there is a negative test. Okinawa, with fewer than 250 cumulative reports of coronavirus cases, has avoided COVID-19 more successfully than places like Tokyo, which has had more than 11,000 cases. Although Okinawa makes up less than 1% of Japan's land space, it is home for about half of the American troops stationed in Japan under a bilateral security treaty. Speaking on other international issues, Schneider says that the security environment in the region is changing rapidly, pointing out China taking aggressive action. They say they see unprecedented levels of incursions in areas around the Senkaku Islands, as called in Japanese, from the past 100 to 120 days. Beijing also claims the islands and calls them Diaoyu. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. Japan confirms a new daily record for COVID-19 infections, topping more than 1,000 cases for the first time since the pandemic began. Vietnamese officials are rushing to control a sudden new outbreak of COVID-19 after reporting one of the world's most successful control efforts earlier in the year. The New York Times Wednesday said the Vatican's computer networks have been breached by Chinese hackers since May. Nearly 3 billion koalas, kangaroos, and other native Australian animals were killed or displaced by bushfires over the past 2 years, according to a study. That's triple the previous estimates. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. U.S. deaths from the novel coronavirus surpassed 150,000 on Wednesday, a number higher than in any other country and nearly a quarter of the world's total, according to the Reuters news agency. Of the 20 countries with the biggest outbreaks, the United States ranks sixth in deaths per capita at 4.5 fatalities per 10,000 people. Only the United Kingdom, Spain, Italy, Peru, and Chile have a higher per capita rate. The increase of 10,000 deaths in 11 days is the fastest in the United States since early June. Florida reported a record increase in new COVID-19 deaths for a second consecutive day on Wednesday, with 217 fatalities in the past 24 hours, according to the state health department there. The pace of infections has accelerated since the United States passed 100,000 dead on May 27th. The U.S. epicenter has also moved to the south and west from the area around New York, which still has by far the highest death toll at more than 32,000. On Tuesday, Arkansas, California, Florida, Montana, Oregon, and Texas each reported record spikes in fatalities. We continue on VOA Asia. The Hong Kong government says it is looking at postponing its September 6th legislative election over concern that another surge of COVID-19 cases is causing. VOA Steve Miller spoke with Rhea Mogul in Hong Kong via WhatsApp about the special administrative region's third wave of cases and life under the new national security law.
The government announced this week that they would likely postpone the upcoming Legislative Council elections because of the spike in COVID cases that Hong Kong has seen over the past month or so. You know, they said that if the elections were to go ahead, people wouldn't adhere to social distancing and it would be quite difficult to enforce pandemic preventative measures, etc. Now, as expected, many Hong Kong residents and activists are very skeptical of the reason given by the government. They see it as a way for the government to suppress opposition voices.
In Hong Kong, that was reporter Rhea Mogul speaking with VOA's Steve Miller. After months of insisting it was completely coronavirus-free, North Korea this week did acknowledge its first suspected infection. That admission signals a possible new approach to a pandemic that has the potential to become North Korea's biggest threat in years. VOA's Bill Gallo reports from Seoul.
Outsiders long assumed North Korea was dealing with a coronavirus outbreak. This week, the North finally admitted that in its own way. State media says the first possible case was a North Korean defector who recently returned. The 24-year-old fled to South Korea 3 years ago because of poverty. South Korea acknowledged the man likely did recently swim back into North Korea, but says he probably did not have the coronavirus. That's no problem for North Korea, according to some analysts, who say the defector is likely an excuse for Pyongyang to finally acknowledge an outbreak.
Korea does not need to deny any more coronavirus infection cases, and it can blame easily its epidemic on defectors and imported cases from South Korea.
North Korea sealed its borders in January, long before most other countries took similar coronavirus precautions. But with that isolation has come economic pain, perhaps even more than from international sanctions. It may help explain why North Korea is now blaming the South for a possible outbreak.
This linkage also provides political cover for Kim Jong-un by deflecting attention away from his performance to blaming external factors for national health and economic difficulties.
It is perhaps the biggest threat yet to Kim Jong-un's 9-year rule, especially if it turns into a major outbreak. Experts say North Korea may be better placed to prevent a pandemic. State media continue to portray the situation as under control. Kim, who was unusually absent for several prolonged periods during the pandemic, has recently appeared in public more often. But North Korean officials have also warned that more vigilance is needed, saying the situation could turn into a deadly and destructive disaster. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
Melania Trump, the First Lady of the United States, was a model before she married businessman Donald Trump 15 years ago. A Slovenian immigrant, the First Lady shies away from the public eye, except for occasional appearances on behalf of her causes, which focus on children. VOA's Carolyn Pursuti shares with us things you might not know about the president's wife.
Stand up, Melania.
First Lady Melania Trump. Always poised and stunningly dressed. An immigrant who grew up in Slovenia, a former Yugoslav republic of 2 million, where her childhood friends still live.
She was very positive. She liked reading books. She also liked designing. She would make new clothes out of old ones.
That love of clothes led to her first job as a model, which eventually brought her to the United States.
She's the first immigrant to be first lady since Louisa, who was the wife of John Quincy Adams in the 19th century.
Melania and Donald, 24 years her senior, met at a party and married in 2005. Barron Trump was born the next year, now the youngest presidential son in the White House since John F. Kennedy Jr. in 1963.
She's an incredible mother. She loves her son, Barron, so much.
He's enjoying his school and his sports. He's a great athlete. And I just want to have him out of the spotlight for now.
Melania herself shies away from the public eye, except for occasional appearances on behalf of her causes. Her Be Best campaign promotes child welfare. In July, she distributed lunches at a shelter for single mothers. Be Best also discourages bullying on social media.
Today's technology provides people with a digital shield to hide behind.
She has not weighed in publicly on her husband's tweets, which often savage opponents. When he mocked teenage climate activist Greta Thunberg, her office issued a statement saying, "It is no secret that the president and first lady often communicate differently, as most married couples do." At times, she herself has been a target. When President Trump won the election, the Slovenians built a statue in her honor, dressed in her inauguration suit. But on July 4th of this year, Independence Day in America, vandals set it on fire and it was removed.
It is a daunting task. It's easier for first ladies of states who have played a similar role in a state. But for someone who has never even been in government before, this is a tough job.
Let us pray.
Melania Trump is Catholic, the first Catholic First Lady since Jacqueline Kennedy. She is America's only First Lady to speak five languages.
It is my honor and great pleasure to stand here before you as the First Lady of the United States.
Even though she spent the last 4 years mostly away from the cameras, experts say Melania Trump will now speak out more as she pushes to be the first lady for another term.
I'm so impressed by how thoughtful you have been with your reports.
Carolyn Prasuti, VOA News, Washington.
Thank you for being with us on VOA Asia. As in other countries, India's hospitality industry is among the worst hit sectors by the COVID-19 pandemic. Cautiously, however, some restaurants are reopening, prepped up to navigate a post-COVID world with new norms. And although the Indian capital is one of the cities hit hard by the pandemic, people are ready to step out, bringing some hope to an industry that has cost millions their jobs and where many are still shuttered. Anjana Pasricha has this report from New Delhi.
Temperature checks, menus and orders being placed on apps, waiters with face shields and masks, dining out is a whole new experience in the Indian capital. As restaurants reopen, customers are arriving to savor a sense of normalcy as COVID-19 cases begin to climb down in a city that has been cloistered indoors. Some have come for a celebration, others with their families. Restaurateurs are optimistic that in a world overtaken by screens, business will eventually bounce back.
Restaurants are the last bastion of hope for offline social human engagement. Everything can go virtual in this world, but restaurants and bars can never go virtual. People always want to meet each other. People always want to celebrate.
They are wooing back customers, promising contactless dining, vacant tables to ensure social distancing, and safe, sanitized kitchens. But it is still a long haul for an industry that has witnessed massive job losses among the 7 million people it employed. This restaurant is one of just two opened by Priyank Sukhija out of the 25 that he owns in India.
Out of the 1,200 people I employ, I'm working, and each restaurant used to have about 70 to 80 people. Right now, this restaurant is operational with 14 people, and the second one has 12 people. So I'm down to 28 people employing currently.
In a city where dining out cornered the highest spending among entertainment options, people are supporting their fight for survival. That is giving hope to the industry, even as the pandemic remains a concern.
They want to start living and accepting the virus as part of their life.
A city fighting to get back on its feet is making a gradual beginning. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
Thanks for being with us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Doug Bernard, Jim Stevenson, and Keith Lee. I'm Ira Melman. Please stay healthy and enjoy the day ahead.